Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to graphic novelist Wilfred Santiago, whose new book is 21, The Story of Roberto Clemente. Stick around. It's the bottom of the ninth, the bases are loaded, and a single wins it for the home team. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their amazing service. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's library of thousands of titles, including today's top comics bestsellers, such as The 10-Cent Plague, The Great Comic Book Scare and How It Changed America by David Haydu, Scott Adams' Stick to Drawing Comics, Monkey Brain, or even an episode of The Shadow starring Orson Welles. You could even download the biography of comic book and graphic novel legend Will Eisner, A Spirited Life, which I wrote and I will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of hardcore baseball fans who would not be averse to reading a book with a few more pictures than words in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Do you remember where you were when you heard the sad news that Roberto Clemente had died in a tragic airplane accident? The Pittsburgh Pirates All-Star and son of Puerto Rico was lost on a humanitarian mission to bring emergency supplies to earthquake-ravaged Nicaragua in 1972. I was a 12-year-old boy then, a New York Mets fan, and I will never forget waking up that morning and hearing that news on the radio. It was the first time I had ever heard of Nicaragua, but not the first I had heard of Clemente. A career 300 hitter, he had finished the previous baseball season by notching his 3,000th hit, putting him in a very small, exclusive group of players who accomplished that. It was a sure ticket to Cooperstown and the Baseball Hall of Fame. It was also notable to me personally because I took it pretty hard. I had not yet flown in an airplane. How could someone trying to help other people get in a plane and die? It wasn't fair. Well, nearly three decades later, Wilfred Santiago reminds us of the legend of the sainted athlete in the form of a graphic novel, 21, The Story of Roberto Clemente. It's a curious yet effective format for recalling the life of a good man taken from us way too soon. Wilfred Santiago, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you, Bob, and thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure. I enjoyed reading the book, and I have to ask, why Roberto Clemente for this treatment, and why now?
Well, there were many factors why I chose Roberto Clemente as the subject to my biography. The fact that I was looking to work on a biography for quite a while, and Clemente basically has a lot of, you know what I mean? He has a compelling story that I think that although it's kind of common in the sense that many baseball players and other athletes come from a background that might be similar, that was Clemente, meaning from humble beginnings and a struggle perhaps with the language and with other kind of obstacles. But they eventually overcome this kind of obstacle, and that's, well, basically that's a basic voyage or that a lot of athletes have in common.
Now it's interesting. We're having this conversation the day after Barry Bonds was found guilty of obstructing justice relating to a steroid scandal. And it really, and just a week ago, Manny Rodriguez, retired suddenly because of another drug scandal. Players from Clemente's time and ours today, very different, and I think this book helps point out just how different things are.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct. One of the things that I discovered through the process of researching about Clemente is not only how different he and other kind of athletes were, but also how they were treated a little different than the say baseball players in the present. And yeah, you could see the irony of how, well, baseball players that are considered superstars and they're able to manage to be on top, at least for a while, and eventually see them fall the way they have been falling is kind of an embarrassment, I believe, in, especially for the sport. And it's something that if Clemente was alive, you have to wonder how we will see some of the, well, news lately, right?
Do you think, was Clemente kind of the Latino Jackie Robinson in terms of baseball, breaking through and, dealing with...
I actually think that although that could be a well-intentioned comparison, I don't think it's kind of appropriate in the sense that Jackie Robinson was an African-American, and the plight of the African-Americans in the United States and the way their origins and their whole history is quite unique to their group. And although Clemente was black in the sense that his skin was black, he wasn't an African-American. He was Puerto Rican. So he's a Latino, and the problems and obstacles and the struggles that not only he, but a lot of the Latinos were going through the same period are separate, they are different from the struggles that the blacks, the African Americans, have been going through the whole history of the United States. So I think they're two different things. I don't think they're comparable.
And yet, I mean, in the story, you do show that he did face some of these same obstacles in terms of prejudice and...
But a lot of it was misguided, because a lot of it was perhaps people perceive him as an African-American, because if you don't even talk to him, the first thing you're going to see is a black man. And that was a huge issue back in the 50s and the 60s. And it's still an issue today, obviously, but it's not to the degree, I mean, because you have to have in mind there were things like institutionalized racism. So if Roberto goes to a restaurant and he couldn't sit because he says white only, and I mean, the grudge, in all honesty, is between the whites and Africans and African-Americans. It had nothing to do with him, right? To an extent. So he sort of found himself in the middle of this fight, and it's completely, it's not easy for him to understand because it doesn't make any sense. And a lot of have to do with the fact that he was wrong. Even when he got people that were treating him with level of racism, it was a racism that he was misguided, because he was as if he was an African American, and he was not. He was he was Puerto Rican.
You mentioned before your research, and I wanted to ask you, how much research do you do to create a graphic novel biography such as this?
It all depends, because there's the research that I do for the character, whether it's Clemente in this case. There's the research that you have to do on baseball, for example, if you want to get those baseball scenes right. you also have to pay attention to the time, what decade you got to pay attention to the time where the events take place, because that's how you're going to see the context of Clemente's life. So you also have to do a lot of research on, for example, in Pittsburgh, what was like the life in Pittsburgh when Clemente finally arrived and stayed there. What was the life in Florida when Clemente went to spring training over there? Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the baseball and Clemente, but a lot of times, for example, you have to be familiar with what was Florida like in during the same period of time.
And you, Wilfred, in the story, you give us a lot of insight into personal interactions when he's a child, when he's first coming up through baseball, later when he gets married. Where did that information come from? That didn't seem like common information. Did you talk to family members of his?
No, actually, one of the latest biographies by Brooks Manaris has a lot of details that weren't available before in terms of Clemente's early childhood. So I basically you expand on that, and a lot of it is a speculation, right? Because, I mean, we weren't there, so mm-hmm. even though we know what Clemente and his family might have for dinner, we're not sure what they ate. So as an author, you sort of sometimes take the liberty and speculate perhaps what was the menu, right?
Did his family, did the Clemente family know that you were working on this?
No, I never contacted them. But his son, actually, around March, he posted a comment on our Facebook page. And that was very exciting because it was the first time I ever heard any reaction from the Clementes or anybody that was so close to him. And you cannot get any closer than his son, right?
Of course. You're from Puerto Rico yourself, as was Clemente. Are you old enough to remember him playing? Or?
No, unfortunately, when I was born, in 1970, so he was about 2-3 years before he died, so I was too young to remember. But as I grew up, you could see that his memory still lived through the adults that surrounded me. So you, even though I wasn't sure what he did, I knew he was a baseball player, but I never saw him play or anything. Mm-hmm. But you did see how the reverence and the respect that they always refer to him, and it's something that really caught my ear, if you will.
So, and does he qualify as a national hero for in Puerto Rico?
Well, during that time, I could tell you that definitely. I mean, I'm not going to comment on what it is like now, because I haven't been in Puerto Rico in a long time. But last time I remember, everybody knows who he is. And Puerto Rico, there's also a sports city that he founded and that is still running, and he helps a lot of children, whether it is helping them with advice and giving them, like, baseball lessons and different kind of sport clinics. So his memory and his word is still around, and everybody knows what he stands for and what he stood for. Hmm. And I think the foundation, the Roberto Clemente Jr. Foundation, is another example of how Clemente is pretty much is not being gone yet.
Well, I've got one more question for you, then I want to take a break. Having concluded and now published this book, is Clemente still an enigma to you, or do you feel like you've gotten to know who he is a lot better through through this project?
There's a lot of Clemente that I think I knew, but at the same time, the more I learn about him, to me, he also feels a little boring to me. And I'm not sure if this is because I didn't have to go through certain situations and hurdles that he had to, even though we came from the same culture. And so there are a lot of things that I learned about him, whether it is the fact that he was in the military or that he was in the Marine Reserve. And it's very admirable the way he always trying to find not just time for himself, because in order to excel in doing the things he did, you have to dedicate yourself, but also the way he took a little extra time to dedicate it to others that are not close to him, but perhaps strangers.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about your craft and your style of work. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media interview with Wilfred Santiago, artist and writer of the graphic novel 21, The Story of Roberto Clemente. And we'll be right back.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
Waiter! Waiter! Bill, did you ever see such poor service? I'm going to call a manager.
Take it easy, Walt. What's mostly wrong is your grouch.
I'm sorry, Phil, but my digestion is so upset.
What you may need for your poor digestion is something that works after nature's own order. Try Carter's Little Liver Pills.
Good advice. When your digestion is upset and you feel headachy and irritable, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. You see, each day, nature normally produces about 2 pints of a vital digestive juice to help digest your food. If nature fails, your food may remain undigested, leaving you headachy and irritable. To feel cheerful and happy again, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. They increase the flow of this vital digestive juice quickly, often in as little as 30 minutes, and you're on the road to feeling better. Don't depend on artificial aids to counteract indigestion when Carter's Little Liver Pills aid digestion after nature's own order. Take Carter's Little Liver Pills as directed. Get them at any drugstore, only 25 cents.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin.com Brown from the Emmy Award-winning 30 Rock, and you know what? I wish I had 30 rocks to throw at Mr. Media's ass. Yeah!
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media interview with Wilfred Santiago, artist and writer of the graphic novel 21, The Story of Roberto Clemente. So, Wilfred, in this segment, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your craft and your style, but first, I kind of wondered, when did you decide or realize that you wanted to be a comics artist?
Well, that was a while ago. That was probably in the mid-90s that I got interested in comic books as an artist, not as a reader or anything like that, or a collector. And I began my career at Milestone Media. It was an imprint of DC Comics, and it's now defunct. And eventually I find all kind of jobs in different comic book publishers, and it wasn't until 1997 that I started working in the sense of the alternative comics, if you will, since most of the comic books I have worked so far are superhero related. But around 1997, I decided I want to give it a shot to graphic novels and start writing my own material.
Now, I have to be honest, I remember Milestone. I still have them in the garage, Hardware and Icon and Static. And help me, though. What did you work on for Milestone?
Well, let's see. I do remember that the first professional job I got was the cover for Hardware number 13, I think it was. And eventually, I ended up penciling Static I don't remember what issue I began. And then I don't know, then I lost track to what I did when. But those were that was the main title that I worked on at Milestone.
I like those books.
I worked for it for a year. I worked at Static for a year or two.
Yeah, I like those books a lot. They had a dimension to them in terms of culture and people that most books did not. I'm sorry that they didn't last longer. And I guess Dwayne McDuffie just passed recently, who was very big in that. I don't mean to bring us down there. did you receive encouragement either there or along the way from anyone in particular in the industry?
Actually, Milestone, I had the opportunity to meet a lot of people that were crucial in my development as an artist, but also as a writer. You have to understand, I began at a fairly young age, or I think I was 22 or 22. So I did have a lot to learn, too. And it was a great opportunity to meet other seasoned artists that were able to pass a lot of those things to me. And Milestone was a great example. And I worked closely with Glenn McDuffie and also Dennis Cowan. And most importantly, I saw them in action, right? I saw them leading a company that were trying to do many different things and were experimenting at a time where a lot of other comic book publishers were playing very safe, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And did you go to school for comics and graphic arts?
Well, I graduated from high school and I took about a semester in college, and then I'll drop out, and that was it.
Okay.
And most of the things I learned is self-taught. It took me a bunch of years, but it probably takes you longer than if you go to a school because you have more focus in what is that you need to do, but I had the opportunity to learn that on my own.
And tell our listeners a little bit about the tools that you use to produce 21. Whether it's hard tools like pens and pencils, boards, or maybe you did it on computer and software. Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, most of 21 is done on pencil, regular paper, and then it's ink. Eventually, I scan it in the computer, and in this particular process, I use a two-color process to color the pages of 21, and this was done on a computer software, and that was it. So mostly it's done by hand, and the coloring separation and some editing is done on the computer. For example, word balloons are done in the computer and things like that.
My sense from reading the book is that you lean on very bold lines and maybe a little less on shading. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, a lot of that is dictated by different reasons. Sometimes it's instinctual. I don't even know if that's a word, but you know, it's not something that as much planned. You just go with the flow, and it all depends on what the scenes in particular are asking. And in the case of 21, compared to some of the other works I've done, you're right, there's a very thick and heavy line. And I don't know what it came out like that, but it definitely has a lot of stiffness and strongness to the art, and I think that was something that I was trying to capture.
Hmm. And then I want to ask you what might be a sensitive issue, and hopefully I will handle it with class, but how did you handle making some characters lighter and others darker skinned? I'm guessing that you could tell when a white creator works because there aren't as many differences in skin tone. but there are in this book.
Yeah, he's basically Clemente's work was about that. His parents were black skin, but he had family members that were lighter tones, and then when he started working in the major leagues, he has to live with people that are white and that come from different cultural backgrounds. He also traveled a lot. Sometimes he went to other countries in South America, Nicaragua, Cuba, for example. And those are completely different people, but at the same time, his grasp of what humanity is perhaps a little wider and older than most people that live at the same time that he did. And it was important to me. That was something that I actually wanted to do, to show that, you know, a lot of these conflicts and elements that we have, that at the end of the day, you know, there's so many colors that at the end of the rainbow, there's a color that's going to be repeated, you know. You might, at least with Puerto Ricans, you might not have a father that is black, but you might have a grandmother that is. And those kind of things that Clemente were very familiar with, and perhaps a lot of people in that are not as close to certain like Latin cultures like Puerto Ricans and Cubans, they're not aware that in most families there's a very wide variety of colors. So yeah, it was a fun thing to do actually.
And you, so I'm not overstating the case. You were very sensitive to that in doing this.
Yeah, I was aware. Yeah, I was aware, and also I was aware that how it's being presented in the past. So there was a balance that I feel sometimes I have to do between what your instinct or why you might feel you might want to treat certain issues, and in the way that might be perceived by others. Because I have to understand that I'm not writing just for Puerto Ricans. I mean, I'm writing for the American audience too. So I have sort of to explain to both, right, what the other one is all about in order to understand what Clemente was all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, Wilfred, before we wrap up, I am curious what might be next for you. Do you have another project that you're working on or something that's lined up?
Yeah, I have a couple of things. Right now, I'm working in our biography. It's loosely based on Captain John Brown. He's an abolitionist from 19th century. And if you want some more information, you can go to CaptainJohnBrown.com, and you could get updates there. And hopefully by 2012, I will have available a preview of the book that you can all watch on the website.
Very good. Well, folks, listen, you can find Wilfred Santiago's graphic novel Tribute 21, the Roberto Clemente story, at great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. And you can also, in addition to CaptainJohnBrown.com, you can find out more about Wilfred Santiago at WilfredSantiago.com. Are you on Twitter or Facebook? Can people find you in those places?
Yes, you can go to Facebook.com/21, the story of Roberto Clemente. And you could go there and look at the comments and actually read comments of people that met Clemente when they were child and things like that, and which I found very fascinating.
Oh, that's very cool. Wilfred, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure. And folks, for more original interviews with the world's top comics and graphic novel creators, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. We'll even accept a donation via PayPal if you twist our arm. That'll help defray the cost of producing the show. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, on Twitter, or our new YouTube video channel. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Parvesh Chhina from NBC's Outsource, and you're listening to the wonderfully kind and annoying Mr. Media.